Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to, of course, the Bubba Show. It is me, Bubba, here hanging out with you. And, you know, the markets are so dead that I figured we'd do a little education today. So let's go back and listen to the Monday night call as we try to figure out what the hell is going on in this market. Here we go.
Hey, what's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome. Happy Memorial Day. And again, as I always like to do, I salute all the soldiers, veterans, current families. Thank you. And it allows me to have a big mouth and be able to fire off. And, of course, honoring my dad and my father-in-law on the front screen here. But anyways, you know, hey, markets are pretty pathetic, I would say, from a trading standpoint. You know, I don't think there's anything major to look at. I don't know if there's anything major to look forward to. But of course, that's typically when something will happen. Now, we will be coming back from a holiday week, so I wouldn't expect a lot of activity tomorrow, but there could be. I mean, there's a heck of a lot of economic data coming out this week. Now, again, you know that I'm from the school that the economic data doesn't mean anything. Okay. It hasn't so far. So why would I expect it to change now? And of course you've got the jobs number on Friday. So we'll see what, we'll see what everything plays out and we'll see what it looks like and we'll be prepared and we'll be ready to go. In the meantime, just a quick public service announcement for everybody who is out of the United States. I have a platform for you. It'll be ready to go, for you in about 2 to 3 weeks. But the prices will be cheaper than anybody, and they will take anywhere in the world other than the United States. So once I have the exact information, I will put it up here for you. But just so you all know, because I know the worst is Canada, but this can go to Canada as well. It's a great platform. It's got a lot of great charting. It's got all the stuff we'd like to have. I've investigated. I've played with it a little bit. I'll let you know when it's official. And but again, for anybody who's out of the country who has trouble, either A, doesn't like their choices, or B, has trouble getting an firm, you will now have one that will be, I guarantee it, it'll be cheaper than anybody that you're using now. And it'll be a great opportunity if you choose to do so. Again, I have nothing to gain other than to help you out if you do decide to go with it. And as we start out every call, or every Monday call anyways, is the words of wisdom from our friend Connie. And no risk, no reward. Know the risk and know the reward. And of course, you know, one of the factors that we always, you know, try to look at here is, again, you have to take, if you want to make money, you've got to take a risk. And we try to measure the risk. And I think that's the biggest thing. So, you know, you have to take risk. You've got to understand, you know, your potential downside. But then, of course, you know, we want to know how much we can make. And I think that's important. And I think this is a very interesting. I had to read it twice to get it right. But, you know, it was I think it's rather on target, especially with what I've been saying. And especially in the current conditions in which the markets sit right now, which is really in the middle of nowhere with not a lot going on. It just started just now. Oh, you have no sound. Well, I can't help you that. Yeah, I had to read it twice because I read it and I read it. And I had to figure it out. Hold on, I got to help somebody out here. Listen, you know, it was very good. I'm complimenting you. I do if you're on the updating platform. Some of you are just on the trades only, so I can't answer specifically yet. But if you shoot me a direct email, I will answer. So you know, again, markets are markets, and there's not a lot going on. I mean, you know, I think that we see overall not much to rail on. I think there's interesting things happening underneath the surface. I think if you look at gold and you look at silver and you look at Bitcoin, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but I mean, if you look at those, they're propping up pretty nicely, especially if you're long Bitcoin. But I mean, they're running up pretty nicely. Does that indicate there's something underneath the surface that has an effect or something on these markets? I'm not saying it does. I'm just saying that, you know, I would find it interesting. I would find it interesting that the bonds refuse to break hard. There's a lot of things that I would find, you know, annoying about these markets, just from the way that they're acting. But again, the one thing we can't eliminate is the overall complacency. And which brings me to, of course, my bitch. And, you know, I'm really sick of the ignorance of the media and the pundits and their willingness to tell investors that this time is different. They're trying to sell it. They're selling it hard. And if you've been in the markets for any length of time, you know that it's never different. And there will be something that will create an issue and a sell-off. Now, again, I'm a firm believer that markets will go up over time, 9% year over year. I have no doubt in my mind. I mean, listen, if they don't, I got a big problem. I'm hedged, so I'm not that worried. But I mean, I've got my own, you know, listen, I've got everything I own in, 90% in the equity markets. So I'm always long, even though I'm as bearish as I can possibly be, I'm still long the market. So I just want you to understand that, you know, I believe that theory, but again, in the short time, I don't see much to go, but again, I'm not going to step in front of it. I'm just giving you my opinion, which is what I like to do. Do I have a perspective on China's involvement in gold? Well, China's doing a lot of, check your speakers. I don't know. Hold on. I mean, China's, you know, there's a lot going on with that. There's actually, China has been involved a lot with that, what they call the blockchain. You know, I'm not real, that is not my specialty, but I know it has to do with electronic transfers and with avoiding going to the bank. Okay. That I do know. And I know that I heard the number is like 3.5 billion or something of that nature. Now, again, I don't have that for a fact. China has probably wrapped up that as well. Listen, China wants to have everything. They want to control everything. So I had a new feature this week. I don't know if I'll do it every week, but these were pretty easy. So I predict, right? And I predict Amazon and Google will trade 1,000 this week, and the VIX will trade below the all-time low of 939. And then I also predict that the VIX will trade at 20 at some point this year. And you'll be able to buy almost any stock back this year at least 5% cheaper than they are right now. Those are my predictions. Book them. I've been pretty hot. I'm hitting about 90% over the last year on major predictions. So you can book them. All right. But again, the problem is knowing when it's going to happen. And just in my last.
And of course, you know, those are things that we look at all the time. And you know, obviously on Tuesday, yesterday, Amazon hit 1,000. So that was easy. The others have not performed yet, but I'm sure soon they will. And I do believe that the volatility will get back up to the 20% range at some point. But again, we'll just sit back and relax. The markets are dead. There's not much to do. And we're going to wait and wait our turn until it's proper. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm is the place you go to download the show, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And I think they're having a pro football player on this week, so you might want to check that out. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out of here for a break, and we will be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, as we share Monday night's call with you a little bit and give you some info. And again, markets are dead, so there's not a lot to do. And my predictions are playing out as expected. So let's go back to the Monday night call. Here we go.
a public service announcement. My last hedging class until October starts a week from Wednesday, the 14th, 2 weeks, the 14th of June. And the last futures course starts next Tuesday. So if you have an interest, great, check it out. If not, no worries. And of course, let's get to work. Let's get to the markets and see what the hay's going on. All right. So once again, the Dow continues, but interestingly enough, although it was higher again, it did not make a new high. So, you know, what does it mean? Now, again, certainly my original thought and plan was off of the big down day. If we didn't take out that high, then I would have thought the top was in. Well, now we're back up and have taken out the top side and have broken to this side of consolidation. We still haven't made a new high, but certainly there's no reason to necessarily want to short this here. I would say for those of you that do want to short it, you can look at 21,200, which is the same basic number we've been using. And I think that you look at 20,800 is kind of the midpoint, which is kind of held. And again, you know, 20,000, well, it is 600. It was 400 if you want to buy them. Okay. Again, I don't, you know, I don't see any reason to get overly excited here. I don't see any reason that I want to jump in and fire and sell here either. Again, I hate what the market looks like from this pattern. This straight up, it cannot last, but it can last longer than I can. All right. So certainly I'm not going to get crazy, but it doesn't look, this is not a promising pattern, but again, it is what it is. We're not going to get stuck in front of it. No, the hedging software is tomorrow. Tomorrow. All right. The S&P, Sierra Papa X-ray, did make a new high. All right. But again, this pattern is absolutely unsustainable. All right. Now, it can resolve by going sideways, as it did here. All right. So again, I'm not saying that it means it's going down. It has to slow down and either consolidate or break down. All right. Now, for now, there is no even resistance level that I can identify unless I want to get into my CMT mind, which I'm not one of those, so I can't. I would say that, you know, probably 2,400, if you're looking to be a buyer, is a place to step back in. That was a key breakout area. And if you want to buy, that's the area you would step in. Of course, I will continue with my, you know, I'll buy stock, but I'm not buying indexes. All right. That I'm not getting into those things because I'm just saying it. I can get long otherwise, and I don't need to get involved because I just don't see the probability for myself. So, but in the meantime, they continue to try to grind higher. And again, who am I to say that they can't go higher? So I'm just saying that here's your levels. And, you know, if you choose to play, there you go. Those are the numbers you'd want to play. The NASDAQ, which we perfectly identified weeks ago or maybe months ago and said, we're not selling it. Of course, it does continue to fly high. Another new high. And, you know, last week, just we did say that you could look at 6150, but I said I would not sell it there, just like I wouldn't. I'm not buying the others. Now you got to look on the other side. You probably look for some support at 6150 as an opportunity to step in and buy. Now, again, I'm, again, not a big fan of being a buyer here. I don't see it myself. But again, I'm not going to tell you not to buy. I'm just saying that for me, there's other things I can get involved in than the major indexes. And of course, then I look at the Russell, Romeo Uniform Tango, and I go, wow, now this is ugly. Now this you can sell. We said last week you could sell it. You know, when it got back to 1390, the high happens to be 1391. I would be a seller at 1390 right now until it proves me wrong. All right, this is a pattern. This is a sellable pattern. This is a tradable pattern. All right, so you can look at 1350 on the downside for some support. You can look at 1390 to sell it. I would have no problem. In fact, I will sell it, and I have sold it, and I will continue to stay short it. Because I don't see any reason, you know, it looks ugly and it probably is. This is the exact pattern. This is what I was looking for in the other major indexes, the big sell-off, but then the rally. Remember, I keep saying that there's going to be a rally. You're not going to miss the market, so don't try to pin or pick the top. Look for the subsequent rally that we're going to get. Now, the question is, will it fail? Well, this rally at the moment looks like it's failing. So if that's correct, then we're going to go substantially lower and we'll probably take out the low of 1350. All right. But for now, you can sell at 1390. S&P, no resistance. If you want to buy, 2,400. Okay. All right. Oil, crude, black gold, Texas tea, Charlie Lima. All right. So, you know, we've been pretty much on fire here. And I think we said last week, we said, just go ahead and sell it. All right. And of course, we had that big breakdown on Thursday. And we're trying to creep back up again. I would sell this at 51 all day long. I think that you're staying in this downward sloping trend. I think that you can see that even the manipulation of OPEC has not been able to propel these higher. And if you go back into last year, when the first OPEC news came out, they got to 55. And so far, we've made lower highs every time since. Why would I expect it to be different? I'm looking for 40 at least on the downside. And I am short and I will continue to sell. I see no reason to believe that OPEC's going to have any effect because, of course, our frackers will keep putting out rigs and keep pumping it out because they're selling futures. What do they care? So I'm a seller at 51. You know, obviously, on breaks, I'll look to be a buyer to cover. All right. And but then I'll look to resell again. OK. Oh, what's up? On the roof. Lost track of time. Well, that's all right. It's a holiday, man. You're OK. Gold, Golf Charlie. All right, so gold has been, you know, we said last week, let's watch 1260. Look what happened. It hung around, and boom. But notice, again, the pattern that we don't like to sell into because it's a more bullish pattern, and boom, we got a little bit of a pop. So, you know, it looks like 1270 is, you know, acting as a little bit of resistance. But it looks to me this is probably make a run up to, you know, close to 1300. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if it stalls a little bit, you know, around 1370, 75, just as a matter. But I think it looks pretty solid. It looks like it wants to go higher. And again, I think this is one of the signs of some potential underlying things that, you know, aren't playing out anywhere else yet, but they are playing out in the gold market. They are playing out in the silver market, and they are playing out in the Bitcoin market. So I think, it's something to look at. It's a product that we're going to trade one way, but it also does have other meanings. I mean, again, I'm not a seller here, which I said last week, I didn't want to be a seller. I think I'd be a buyer at 1260 as a trade. Obviously, I own gold, so I'm long gold anyways. But I think that it does look like it wants to go higher here. And I think that the bear market, the five-year bear market is over. I think that, you know, now you want to look to buy dips here. I thought they'd crack one more time and they got to 1198, but that was it. And I think that now we're looking to be buyers. The bonds, Zulu Bravo. Okay, so the bonds continue to hold remarkably strong as we could try to sell them. And I think they're coming way down, right? I mean, again, I'm not going to change that view, but this is telling another story. Now, you know, I've been able to scalp these bonds, you know, a little bit from trading standpoint, but look, they're not going anywhere. So what are we going to say here? We're going to say, well, we're setting up for some kind of a big move. Now, just based on this little bit of information, I hate to say it, but it looks like they want to break to the upside. Okay. I don't like it. And I don't, you know, from a fundamental standpoint, from knowing what I know or what I think I know, it doesn't look right. But, you know, who's going to get in the way of it? All right. This is an interesting look, you know, but I guess we're going to get to 155. Maybe we're going to test the high. In the meantime, I'm going to be really more neutral here. You know, I mean, I would be a seller at 155. And I would trade them, you know, on rallies, I'd sell them. I'm not really a buyer on dips, but I would sell them on rallies looking to buy them lower. But again, it's going to pop here one way or the other. And of course, it looks like it wants to try to pop higher. So again, it's beyond me to try to get in front of this one. So we'll let them trade and we'll see. But more or less, I'll have to call them neutral for just in general, because I don't really have, you know, ranges. I mean, 152 is, you know, is 152, 152 and a half is probably a buy, and 155 and a half is probably a sell. But, you know, again, I'd rather wait. You know, you've got, you do have, you know, two announcements that week that can't.
All right, we'll get back to the two announcements after the break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, we're looking at a market that is absolutely dead, so there's not a lot to do. So I figured, well, why not do a little education? So let's go back to the call. And here is the continuation. We're going to pick up with the bonds, and what we're trying to do is establish those levels. Here we go.
And dry, more than that, but two for sure, which is the ADP jobs number first, and then, of course, the big jobs number on Friday. And by the way, for you futures guys and gals, we are trading live Friday. But in the meantime, you know, again, I don't have to get involved here. There's something I can find something else to trade. The dollar. Delta X-ray Yankee. And notice, and we thought that the dollar would find a little bit of a bid or a little bit of support. All right. We expected a bounce to 98.99. So we got to almost, you know, 97.5. And I expect the bounce to see 98 or 99. I mean, again, this is a nice little bit of a rounding bottom. It should hold, and again, it can actually, to keep the pattern intact, it can still rally. Right now, it could go almost to 99 and still be downtrending, all right? Because all you do is you follow the top stop, all right? So I don't know if it'll get that high, but again, of course, the top is declining. So if we stay here, you know, obviously it'll come closer. But again, I'm a seller at 98, and then I'll sell more at 99. That's how it looks at the moment. I see no reason to look at anything else. I continue to call this down, probably going to 94. Will the rate increase in June affect that trend? The miners are weak. Well, they're going to get strong here, I think. The rate increase should affect bonds. It should affect a lot of things. But I think you're having another battle here of if they're going to actually hike or not. You know, they were, and then, well, maybe we're not. And, of course, I'm not a big believer in the Fed funds rate. I'm a bigger believer in the bonds trading. The Fed funds rate says no, and the bonds are now starting to say no. But I think the bonds kind of are playing this whole game. And I think a lot will depend on what the numbers look like this week. And there's something else we'll talk about in a little bit as to what I think will happen. The euro currency. All right. So we said sell them at 1250. Look at that. 1282 is the high, and boom, here we come. Now, I would expect these to come down to probably 111. There's probably one more bounce in them. I'm not a buyer at 111, but I would not be shocked to see them bounce from there. I'd rather be a seller at 112.50 again or 113. I think that's the better side of the trade. I think that's where I want to focus on, is because I do believe these are going to crack like an egg. And again, I think that I eventually think the euro is going out. Okay. But we'll see. You know, we have the Italian election. We've got other things going on. So, but in the meantime, from a pure standpoint here, 111 to, you know, 112.50, 112.80, you know, 113, right in that area. But I'm looking for a spot to sell. And of course, our friend, the British are coming. Okay. So we broke down a little bit. I think this is a great opportunity. I would be a buyer right here. Okay. I'm comfortable with owning these right here. We had a little bit of a sell-up, but I mean, not totally unexpected considering that we continue to rally. So I would look to be, if you trade this, I'd be a buyer, without fear. And of course the fear index, there is no fear. We never have nothing to worry about. We're never going down again. Markets are going to a billion. Just load them up, keep borrowing money on margin because they're just going up, and the VIX is going down. But I do think it will take out the low. I thought that before. And I do think it'll happen. And I think that, you know, it won't be that minute. I don't think will be a trigger, but I think that will be some of the things that you'll start to see people looking at, that when they do finally pop out the low in the VIX, you know, then you might start to see some action. You know, again, you're getting down to numbers where you're going to even get speculators just saying, hey, you know, let me buy some volatility just in case. But the VXX continues to crumble. And, you know, we'll see. You know, hey, at the end of the day, I mean, I'd be a buyer of volatility here, you know, of these futures. I think they're worth a reasonable shot. But again, that's what you're taking here. You are not, if you buy them here, you could buy them here for a bounce, but they do look like they want to go lower. All right. I mean, again, just the overall action is just pathetic. And of course, it goes with the slow market and everything else. So we're not going to, you know, we're not going to try to outsmart the market or figure it out. We're going to let them trade and look for an opportunity. Again, I certainly would never be a seller here under any circumstances. You know, to me, too cheap to sell, but it could go lower. So, but now, you know, as we look at, you know, what's going on and we and talk about the skew, well, you know, the stocks themselves are up, right? But the if you take out the top 25%, the markets are down 5.5%. Again, I'm not trying to justify anything, but really what I've said all along is that we're really being driven by four or five stocks that are really exciting and that continue to push higher. And, you know, again, a lot of the rest of it is fairly weak. So, you know, you got to weigh the balance, and it doesn't affect what you're going to trade next, because, again, each trade that you make should be based on the footprint of the trade you're looking to make. It should have nothing to do with what the general markets are doing, because, again, I don't believe in that. I mean, obviously, if you want to be long, a rising market is going to help you a little bit, but it's not. It shouldn't make the difference on whether you buy or not. Just like you shouldn't be afraid to short if you find something that's extremely weak, okay? It should not matter what the general markets are doing. Don't confuse yourself with what's going on, because, again, each individual item trades off of its own footprint. Now, I think this is interesting. You know, the mortgages, you know, we hear about home sales and they're falling a little bit. And of course, because nobody can get a mortgage. Only the rich can get mortgages. I mean, yeah, they're at great record lows, but who can get them? You know, it's not easy to go out and get a mortgage, you know, because nobody wants to loan you money at those kind of rates. Now, you know, you would think they wouldn't care because, hell, they're only fractional bank anyway. They're only giving away money that they don't have anyways. And if they go bust, they'll go back for more, right? They'll have be too big to fail again. But in the meantime, it's hard to get a mortgage. It's hard to get through all the regulation. At the end of the day, the average guy cannot get, or gal cannot get, a mortgage. But what they can get is they can get plenty of car loans. Now, again, you can look at this and say it's not a problem, and that's fine. But between car loans and student debt, the debt is bigger than the housing bubble. Okay. So you can poo-poo it away and forget about it like everybody else is doing. Certainly nobody cares on Wall Street. Nobody cares on TV. None of the investors care because we've got margin debt at record highs. So everybody knows that the markets are only going to go higher. But you look at this and you go, wow, okay, what does it mean? Well, what does it mean? It just means that debt is mounting. Debt is building. How is that debt going to be paid back? All right. We're at full employment and we're not making enough money. So, you know, again, we talked about that last week. Tax receipts are down. So if you're at full employment and tax receipts are down, what does that mean? It means we're making less money than we made before. And the actual statistics are we're making less money than we made in the year 2000, 16 years ago. But there is plenty of money for the cryptocurrencies and the Bitcoin and those things. Of course, Bitcoin hit record highs again, up 125% this year. There's some other offshoots. Now, I know some of you are involved in this and some of you trade this, and I have no problem with it. I don't understand it myself, and I'd be afraid of it. But under any circumstances, okay, even if it's going to be the greatest thing in the world, Bitcoin, this has got to be a bubble in my eyes. I, you know, again, this kind of movement and that is ridiculous. There's nothing what made it worth, you know, this is, you could look at a gold chart from 2011 and say the same thing, which is what I did say. And that's why I don't get on CNBC anymore, because I told Cramer he was wrong. Okay. But who cares? That's a story for another day. But in the meantime, here you got. I mean, this chart cannot be sustained. They can stick it up there. You know what? This is not going much for now. It may go eventually. It might go a lot higher. But in the near term, you know, if it was liquid enough, which it's not, I'd be selling it like crazy if it was liquid enough. But it is not liquid enough to trade. And you get scammed on the bid offer because there is no place to really trade it. Chinese black money flows into Bitcoin after Chinese president control. Yeah, of course. British pound is a buy. Just buy it. Wages. I just talked about that. They continue to fall. So, again, give me the story that we're at full employment. Give me the big razzmatazz of how good everything is going. And I go, okay, then why are wages falling? You know, where are we going to go? And you know, you can't you can't tell me that the overall middle class population has done much benefiting from what's going on here. You can see by the type of jobs that they're creating. Okay, because our wages are lower because we're creating crappy jobs instead of creating jobs in the manufacturing sector, which continues to miss. Now, again, you can like Donald Trump, you can hate Donald Trump, but you have to hate the entire political system other than him. You can hate him for your own reasons, okay? But you have to hate the system because of the way they prevent the ability to get out of some of these issues because of their stupid votes and all their other crap. They don't allow it to exist because they're too worried about giving up their own stuff. You know, they don't have the same Obamacare we have. They don't have the same pension that we have. So what are they worried about? They want to keep continuing taking that $200,000 a year and getting money from their lobbyists and from everything else. I mean, it's a bunch of bad stuff. In the meantime, it will not help create jobs. And that is another issue because we can't get anything.
So, again, you know my views there, but we are up against the break. So we'll step out here. LibertyTalk.fm. Download that show. Get over here and download that Bubba Show right now at LibertyTalk.fm as well as the Sporting Edge. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back after the break with more of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, the Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz in a crappy, quiet market. So we're doing a little educating. Let's get back to the call. Here we go.
Through. So we can't get tax cuts through. We can't get health care through. And at the end of the day, until we can get something rolling here, it's going to continue to be the same. And we're going to continue to have them bragging about how much better earnings are when all they are is beating down expectations. Bitcoin only trade Forex. Right. They would not allow the ETF. They banned it because the government can't figure out a way to get their paws into it. That's listen, it's like poker. It's like anything else. If they can't figure out how to tax it, they ain't letting it through. Trade deficit widens, export weak, economists miss. Gee, what a shock. The economists actually missed. Have they ever hit it right? That's what I want to know. I mean, economists, they're great at theory. They're great at looking back and saying, oh, this is what happened. How about telling me ahead of time what's going to happen? I mean, it's pretty easy to tell that we're not generating any true growth here. Okay, now I could be wrong. And if anybody's got an argument for me, please spit it out. I'd love to hear it. But other than a few areas around the globe, you know, around the United States, there is not a lot of huge growth going on. All right, you get away from the major players and you get out into some of the other areas, there is not a lot of good going on. All right. So, again, am I surprised? No. Why would I be surprised? This happens all the time. Is the webinar recorded and can it be played again? It's nearly midnight. Yeah, it's recorded and you can play again. You'll have it tonight. You be spot on. Thank you. So, U.S. payrolls, Eurozone inflation, and Fed speakers. Now, this is something that you guys don't know how angry I've been all day today about this stuff, okay? But you've got, you know, we got payrolls on Friday, which is fine. It is what it is. But, you know, we've got the speakers coming out again. And notice how the lineup is out, okay? You've got one of the first speakers is the new Fed chair from Dallas who replaced Fisher, who Fisher was at least more of a hawk than anything else, if he wasn't neutral. Okay. But they've started out with him And then they bring in Williams, who's from San Francisco, who's a center, you know, I don't know, a fence sitter. I call him a waffler, right? And they end up with Brainerd again, who is the biggest dove next to Janet Yellen. So you've got five Fed guys coming out there, and what they're really doing, in my opinion, is they're testing the waters, and they'll start out with a hawkish tone, and if need be, they'll bring up the cleanup hitter, Brainerd, to talk it up and go back to the dovish tone so they can get the markets again. Now, why are they manipulating the markets? That's what I'd like to know. All right. When are they going to let the markets free float again and let them trade the way they're supposed to trade and let asset classes price themselves? That's another issue for another day. And of course, back to my original argument, debt. You know that every major bubble, every major crash has come from debt. Does everybody realize that? Okay. Every major crack in every major market throughout history has come because there's too much debt. Well, our debt is now the highest, obviously, in history, but the real comparison is the debt today is bigger than the housing bubble in 07, 08, 09. And where's all that debt coming from? And all that free money that the banks continue to create through the credit cards and all these things. I mean, again, you look at it and you got to wonder, you got to scratch your head, okay? Because, again, the problem with today's debt versus 08 is that at least in 08, they had houses to back it up. I mean, they were overvalued, but at least they had a hard asset. You've got students and a depreciating car. I don't know how good that's going to be. And, of course, why do you think the credit card companies continue to roll on? Because there's no money. So you have to continue to borrow off your credit card. We all know the usury rates that they charge, all right? I mean, you buy something on a credit card, you don't pay it in full, you may never pay it off. It may be a lifetime achievement award for paying debt. You know, this is the problem. And why they're so strong right now is because the average business guy, the average person needs a little bit of money. I mean, you know, the average person supposedly can't raise $400 to pay a bill. So are you going to tell me that they're not borrowing off their credit cards? Of course they are. And, of course, that only leads to disaster, which is why the credit card lobbies got that eliminated off the bankruptcy. Okay, so, again, are we thinking about that? I mean, those are things, that, again, does it mean anything for the market? Not really. It's just telling you that, again, all these stuff you're hearing, you know, with the problem banks. Now, again, this is, depending on how you want to look at it, you know, everybody yells about the Fed printing money. But, you know, banks print money too, right? You know, banks, just by fractional banking, by the ability to lend out at a 9-to-1 ratio, which I, of course, will argue that and bet you that 90% of the banks are lending out at more than 9-to-1, which is against the law. But, you know, again, who's going to go check them? Who's going to go do the stress test legitimately? Probably the same guy who checked Bernie Madoff every month when they were checking his regulations. All right. But again, the big banks, they continue to destroy the little banks. They continue to destroy everything because they don't have to worry about the regulators. They just tell them to go flip off. They pay somebody. They don't care. They make so much money because, again, think about it. If they have $100 and they lend out $900 for that $100 that they're supposedly holding, and six people stiff them, but the other three pay, they didn't lose any money. They made money. I mean, that's the same thing as printing money. It's the same thing as dragging down our currency because they're creating more of it. It's just as simple as that. But if you want a good credit score, you need to borrow and keep. Yes, but again, we're past credit scores. Okay. I mean, you know, look, a lot of people got credit scores in the fives. It's not a pretty picture. All right. Again, the markets think it's a pretty picture. And again, that's fine. I mean, listen, I'm not struggling. I'm just unhappy with the way it runs. You know, I mean, I'm past the stage of worrying. I got, you know, but I got kids and grandchildren and hopefully they'll show up someday. You know, I'm worried about them. I mean, me, hell, I could drop at any moment. Is gold ready to rocket? And of course, the typical relationship is a weaker dollar, stronger gold, stronger yen, stronger gold. But I think, again, I think there's more to this story. And I think somebody who said earlier, China, okay. And I happened to interview somebody last week who talked about the blockchain deal. And I understand that Russia and China are transferring a lot of gold for oil through blockchain. Now, again, I don't understand all that stuff. It's a little bit above my pay grade. But to me, the gold is telling more of a story of, you know, it would be like it's maybe subbing in for the VIX at the moment. Like, people aren't afraid of the equity market at the moment, but they are buying or trying to buy what they consider to be some protection by buying some gold or silver or assets like that. Now, again, I don't believe that protects you, but again, it's certainly, I believe that everybody should own some hard assets. So I'm certainly not, again, that. Less government, more freedom. Hallelujah. Now, another thing, okay. Everything is so great, but hotel occupancy is not gaining, okay? So if hotel occupancy is not gaining, it means people aren't traveling. It means people aren't traveling for business. It means people aren't vacationing. So again, I go back to the same question, all right? If the middle class is not striving, then the economy does not strive. The rich are the rich. They stay there. They get richer in times of trouble, but they don't change their spending habits. The poor or the entitled do what they do all the time. The big drivers of any economy are the people in the middle that are willing to spend every dime that they earn. But when you don't pay them enough, it's hard for them to spend it, which is why we're seeing such a debacle everywhere that affects directly the money from the middle class, which is shopping, stores, retail. And again, I understand a lot of Amazon, but if people had money, they would spend the time to go out to the store versus just buying it online. They would make the events they used to make. So again, hey, you know, this is just another little sign that's
just another sign that everything ain't as pretty as they want to make it out to be. Again, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer of the world, but to me, I do see issues and problems. And we'll see what happens. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, LibertyTalk.fm, my station. Go download that show. As well as the Sporting Edge. And we'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Same time, same station, right here at the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. And we will see you back here again tomorrow. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, everybody. See you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.